I'm Aria Schwartz, and welcome to the Windsider Show, where it's all about the W. A historic WNBA franchise with rings and MVPs. But that was then, and this is now. The LA Sparks are in the second year of a new head coach and first year of a new GM. We have Windsider's own Amani Wright to chat all things LA Sparks, so let's jump right in. Welcome back to the Windsider Show. I'm very excited. Amani, you were boots on the ground in LA all season long. So who better to talk LA Sparks with than you? So let's talk all things Sparks. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to get things sparking.
Okay. So I'm going to give a one-word answer to this. But like, give me your very brief summarization or a recap or what, however you would describe the LA Sparks 2023 season to a WNBA fan who spaced out last year. Because for me, it was a cluster of confusion, I'll say.
I would say, if I were to give a one-word answer, I would say adversity. Because there was a lot of adversity that the team faced, dealing with injuries and such, and kind of having to bring people in who weren't originally a part of the fold to kind of relieve that adversity with the injuries. And I think once the team was together and healthy, they were extremely successful. But when they weren't, they weren't. I think a lot of things that lacked was a sense of consistency and discipline. But I think, again, that comes from not really having the same roster the whole season. And you also have a new head coach in Kurt Miller. Obviously, he has, you know, the championship pedigree and things of that nature. But he's in his first season, so you can't expect greatness right away. Not everybody can be Becky Hammon. So you have to take that into account as well in terms of the spark season.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, you can't judge, like, even Kurt Miller, who is I forgot who coined this phrase, but expert floor raiser. Especially, like, here's what I will say. The positive side of last season for the LA Sparks had to be, as you were talking about, so many people, like, excuse my language, the revolving door that was their roster, because now they're in a rebuild. And it's kind of bearing the lead, but like, now they're in a rebuild and you just had a season where you were able to see a variety of players that maybe wouldn't have gotten opportunities to view before. And that's a huge advantage when you're in a situation. We're going to hear a lot about this, you know, 2 years off, we all expect the CBA to be redone. No players want to sign long contracts, blah, 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 blah. So it's very important for a team. Like, now is a great time to be in a rebuild, if we're being honest. If trying to put the positive spin on a lackluster season for the LA Sparks. And I think, look, Kurt Miller has installed, I shouldn't say he's installed, but like, now they have a GM who he has a history with. They have a repertoire, has an assistant GM he has a history with now because they have a season together. Shout out Eli. And you're looking at this team, you're like, okay, now you can like start to guide yourself in the right direction, kind of recalibrate whatever you want to see. So I'm excited in terms of, we got to see players we wouldn't have normally seen playing the W last season because of that. And maybe, you know, they got some tape and now they're going to move on to a new team or the same team. All right. So in free agency, because we're at a kind of inflection point or a fork in the road or whatever, it's right before draft time. Free agency is essentially done. It's cooled off. You know, let's run down kind of the big things that happened and then just kind of shoot the shit, for lack of a better word. Free agency, they added a big commitment to Ray Burrell, bringing her back. Ari McDonald, getting her in a trade. Kia Nurse, getting her in a trade. And Julie Alamon. And I think those are nice additions, and generally they're younger players. Obviously, if I'm being honest, the Kia Nurse move is kind of like a whatever, but it's a salary dump for Seattle to make a move, and they got the number 4 pick on that. They did lose some big names, though. Like, we can't not talk about it. I know what you're thinking, the Samuelson sisters. So, I mean, they did. And honestly, I'm just sad because some of my favorite, I wouldn't even say unexpected, but some of my favorite, like, ongoing storylines in the W have been the sisters basically just like randomly popping up on the LA Sparks roster over the last, what feels like 6 years. I know it hasn't been that long, but what was your thoughts on losing the sisters?
For me personally, I was extremely happy for Carly because Katie Lou, I kind of knew she was going to be out because she's, you know, pregnant and everything like that. And so I was honestly excited to see Carly play. I was known in the media room as the Carly Samuelson fan because like her story and just the way she's persevered, jumping from roster to roster, and even just her relationship with the Sparks kind of being on and off. It was just really cool to finally see her get her moment and get her shine and basically be one of the best three-point shooters in the league. So it was also really dope to see the way that they supported each other. And Carly spoke about that when I spoke to her and did an article about her. So I think you should read the article. And I really think it was dope, like, to see them support each other and just, like, see that kind of kinetic energy. And being able to play with your sister is probably one of the most special things that anyone could do in their career in terms of sports. I have a brother, so I didn't get to do that. But I know for me, if I had a sister, I would be super excited to play on the same team as them in that capacity.
And now the other sibling duo in LA Sparks. I mean, we don't know what's going on with Shanae right now. Maybe she has come back to LA. I joke. But I mean, the face of the franchise, the cornerstone, MVP, champion, one of the most elite players in WNBA history, Nneka Ogumike, is not finishing her career, or at least is not going to only play her career in LA Sparks purple and gold. Look, there's been rumblings of, you know, would she go to Texas because she's from Houston? Would she move on somewhere else? Would she try and draw people in? Would she maybe go to Vegas? Like, there was rumors out the wazoo of what would happen to Nneka. And I'll say this. I gotta love it for a player who, in my opinion, has been historically underrated. She is a player, and this might be, I know people are going to be like, oh, are you a Lynx fan, whatever. No. Like, she reminds me, when it comes to underratedness, similar to a Rebecca Brunson, a player who is historically up there with the greats and just doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, Nneka Ogumike last season was putting up stats better than her MVP year. Now, I don't think she should have been in an MVP discussion that season because of how the team was doing. That said, her game, like, people were not talking about it in the same way that they were talking about Tina Charles 2-3 years ago when Tina was going off having that crazy season for the Mystics. Like, people need to talk about Nneka. She's not, I mean, there's less games in front of her than there are behind her. I get that. But, like, she's not one of those older vets who's fallen off. What was your experience getting to watch Nneka so close and for her last LA Sparks season?
To be honest, I personally, hot take, wasn't shocked that she was leaving because she's just been through it all with them, you know, the highs and the lows. You can only stay in the lows for so long. So I do not blame her for leaving. Also, seeing her in person and seeing just her production, her efficiency, her leadership was a treat to watch, honestly. I knew every game that she was playing in, she was going to work her butt off. She was going to do whatever she can to help the team. But I think one thing that, like you said, she doesn't get talked about enough, but her efficiency is, like, actually insane. Like, I don't think people understand how efficient of a player she is. And just her IQ and just decision-making is another thing. I think that's such a strength of hers. Like, she's not one of those players that needs to get 20-plus shots up a game in order to have a good stat line. Like, it's just beautiful basketball to witness.
It's funny. I don't know if it's funny, but it's Nneka's one of those players that I've always talked about as, you know, being so smart, so like just, I don't, not chemically, like physically, she is like, she's always in the right position. She gets, her feet work is insane. What she does is her style of game. She's always been an undersized big. Her style of game, I feel like, translates well to older age because it's not so reliant on her sprinting up and down the court. It's that she's going to be in the right position at the right time every single time. And she has been doing that from a very young age. And so I'm curious for you, because you've actually played and I just have bad knees. Like, do you agree with that? Do you think that like her game is a game that translates well, or am I just blowing smoke?
No, her game it translates well in terms of she has, like you mentioned, great footwork, but that footwork isn't sped up. It's at her pace. She's always played the game at her speed. She's never let anybody speed her up or slow her down, which I think kind of similar to, like, I don't want to make an NBA reference. But Deladon. Here we are.
Deladon?
No. Kind of like Jokic almost, where like Jokic is a big guy. He's not super fast. Nneka's obviously more athletic than Jokic by far. But he is the same type of player in terms of like he takes his time, he gets what he wants. And Nneka does the same thing, where like she takes her time, she gets what she wants. But on top of that, unlike Jokic, no disrespect, does not have the same amount of speed or the same amount of control. She also is very controlled. And I think that's something that she uses very well to her advantage.
I mean, I'm just happy that's not the last time we've seen her play in the W, that we get to see her play more. Obviously, it kind of sucks for the Sparks, but you know what? At a certain point, there was some quote I saw recently about a player leaving, whatever. You got to rip the Band-Aid off and like do it at some point. And it's for both, right? Like at a certain point, you got a new coach, a new GM. You're trying to do a rebuild. You have to start new. Another move that, and I'll start because she's more senior. We're going to start with Jazz Thomas retiring. And it's sad. No, like, because here's the thing. Over the past handful of years, it's been Jazz Thomas in the finals. It's been Jazz Thomas, you know, doing amazing things to help will her team to a point of contention. And then for that to be her last season is just, as a basketball fan, it sucks. I don't know what else to say. Any thoughts on watching Jazz Thomas's last season?
Yeah, I could personally, like, as somebody who's been side by side by someone who has gone through an ACL injury, not only once, but twice, I can understand why she feels the way she does, especially, you know, being an older player. She's not old per se, but, you know, like an older player, not really feeling like she has anything left. I'm sure she has things left, but just, I applaud her for the self-awareness enough to be like, hey, like, it's time for me to hang it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, versus like another season of...
Would take soup. But you know, I don't need to become Alexis Morrison here right now. But for me, I think that I applaud her for that. But you could tell, like, the trust in her body wasn't fully there yet. Like, it was getting there. There would be games where she would be like you could tell, like, it's good, like, she's good, she's doing well. And then there would be other games where I'd be like, like, I don't know if she fully trusts her body yet, or and it also seemed like she would have like little setbacks where like she would do really well for a couple games and then Kurt would be like, well, she's questionable or da 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 da, and then I'd be like, dang, like, that's, I'm sure in her mind it's like, that's a lot to deal with. So I applaud her for having the self-awareness and for doing that. Obviously, as a basketball fan, like you said, I am sad because obviously she's had a historic career. And like you said, she's been in championship games before. And I really felt like she brought such a veteran presence to that team that was needed. Other than like on top, obviously on top of Nneka and Shanae and those who have been there. But I feel like she was a great fit into the puzzle of the Sparks with the leadership. And obviously she's worked with Kurt for forever. So for her, she was comfortable, which I think also helped as well. So
yeah, I think that she was, I mean, I always saw that move as more of a bridge to try and, you know, ease Kurt Miller's first year in LA. The other player that we got to talk about, and arguably the, I mean, arguably the biggest name to leave LA this season, Jordan Canada. I mean, a player, there's not shade at NECA. Obviously, NECA is the biggest, whatever. We talked about NECA and her legendariness, but like, Canada's a player who a couple years ago was barely on a roster, was on a training camp contract, you know, and really, and this is a player who's won championships in Seattle behind, with Subert. I shouldn't even say behind Subert, with Subert at times, with Stewie, with Jewel Lloyd. And so, you know, her story is the type of story that movies are made of. And I think to see kind of her go from that position to now getting a Coring, getting a Max, and then having the ability to finally pick what she wants to do with her career more so than, let's say, like a player who's on a training camp contract. So the LA Sparks making a smart GM and the business move, core her and trade her and move her out to Atlanta, which very excited for what that means for her moving forward. And that also aided, I mean, look, this leads us to the next situation that we want to talk about, the state of the franchise, right? A rebuild is kind of then the point right now. To get a young Ari McDonald and to get assets back, you know, they got assets back for getting Kia Nurse. They got assets back for getting rid of Canada, who wanted to be out. Talk to me about, and I realize now that I totally missed Mo Billings coming to the team also. She was also an addition during free agency, so I apologize to anyone who's going to be like, you forgot about her. Don't worry. Talk to me about the state of the franchise, the state of the rebuild. Because you and I have talked off air, I feel like, a fair amount about how, about our feelings on how well they're doing on the rebuild and if we would have done things a little bit different. I don't know. I'm talking too much. Tell me, what do you think about the rebuild?
You're good. Also, the rebuild for me, it's the epitome of ... Like, I'm not really sure what the goal is for them anymore. Like, obviously they're rebuilding, but like, obviously, like you said earlier, they are obviously putting their money and their belief in Ray Burrell. And then you also have Zaya still, and they both have been playing really well in the Athletes Unlimited League, which is going on right now. And Lexi's also been playing really well too. So, I mean, you have those, like, it's a really, really young team. So it's going to be interesting to see where De'Erica fits in, where Azare fits in, and Lay fits in. Obviously, they've been there the longest, per se. No, Lexi's been there the longest. But from a leadership standpoint, obviously, like those three, Azare, De'Erica, and Lay are the older players. So it'll be interesting to kind of see who steps up and like what it looks like all together, especially with the addition of Kia as well. There's a lot of good shooting here with the new addition, which I think is something that they were lacking. But a lot of these players that they've added are also very versatile, which I think will be helpful going into the season. So it'll be interesting to see how this all comes together. I'm not really seeing the vision right now, but maybe I will, like, once the season starts. But yeah, in terms of right now, I'm just like, oh, okay, like, we'll see what happens.
I mean, my critique is a little bit more cutthroat than how you're nicely saying it. But like, no, like, because here's my thing. If I was a GM, if I'm in the rebuild stage, I'm doing kind of what they did last year. I'm taking, you know, a flyer out on a player who was a second, third round pick 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever, who's only played one game and had like two flashes, or, oh, you were really high on them in college. And you know, like, I'm taking risks. You have two early draft picks. There's every year we talk about it. And I know, you know, I can be a little stinker and fight this topic of, oh, you know, we need more spots in the W and look at all these amazing players getting cut. And I constantly will say, well, the reason they're getting cut is because they're not as good as other players. But I do think, I'll play devil's advocate against myself, I do think there are players that, like, you got to take a risk on. I mean, Coach T, no longer Coach T, GM T in DC is known for surprising people by taking drafts, finding a diamond in the rough. And I think LA should be, you know, taking some clumps of rough or whatever and hoping to find a diamond, because you have Azure, you have D'Erica, you're committed to Ray Burrell. Ari McDonald, like, I like having Ari McDonald there because it, I'm not saying she's going to be a cornerstone for this team, but she's somebody who I think, you know, she's cheap right now. You can maybe win her over to stay a little bit longer. Whatever it is, like, you have these young players. Julia Aleman, honestly, I'm hype on that one too, if they can get her to come over. I just feel like they're pretty heavy in the guard and they're pretty heavy in the bigs, but not in, like, clear starters and not in, like, clear, I don't even want to say unproven rookies. You know, it just feels like they're going in the middle when they should be going on the outskirts more. If I don't even know if that made sense.
No, that makes sense. Like, they're not really taking risks right now. It's very safe. It feels very, like, what they're doing feels very safe.
It's like going on a roller coaster. It's like going down the slide and, like, squeezing the side so you don't go down too fast.
Yeah.
You can tell I have a toddler.
Shout out to Guess.
Yeah, shout out to Guess. Side note, I have properly trained him that when he looks up at the poster above his bed of Simone Augustus, he goes, bah. proud parenting moments.
Love that.
Okay, so for you, what would you like to see them do in the draft?
I think they should draft Cameron Brink, and if they don't, there's something wrong. So that's what I'm seeing.
Do you think, and why not use this as a great time to plug the Winsider mock draft that just came out today, or I guess yesterday by the time this goes live? We do have, maybe you got in their ear, or maybe you're just sipping the Winsider Kool-Aid. Why do you think, like, talk to me about Cameron Brink and what makes her special to go number two?
I think for her at number two, I don't think she could play right away on the Sparks roster. You never know. For me, opportunity is there for her. If I'm Cam Brink, I want to be drafted by the Sparks because there's opportunity. Not only that, but she'll be able to learn from Azure and D'Erica, which are, like, obviously D'Erica is who she is. She's that girl, period. And Azure is starting to come into her own a lot more and being in her natural position where she's supposed to be. And so you have a rising star in Azure, and then you have already, you know, a star, in my opinion, in Hamby. So she'll be able to learn from them, which I think, like, if I'm a rookie, like, I want to learn, I want to get better. Like, and also too, based off of the conversations, like, I've had with them in the media room, maybe they're putting on a show. I don't think they are. They're both two very approachable people. Like, very, very nice, very, like, willing to work with you if you work with them. And that's kind of the vibe that I get from Cam. Like, she seems like the type of girl that would vibe really well with anybody. And just as long as you work hard and get things done. And I think that's kind of been the Sparks almost aura, or if I were to describe the way that the women seem like with each other, is that they all respect each other. They all are genuinely rooting for each other and want to see each other succeed. And they also pick each other up when they're down. And so I think Cam would fit in really well, not only from obviously a player perspective, but also from a personality perspective as well, which I think is something that people don't consider when you're talking about drafting a player. Like, you have to think about the whole person, not just their athletic abilities.
I agree with that. I also, I'm a jerk and hate when people say that. No, I'm joking. You're like, I kind of do. Like, if I'm being honest, I kind of hate when people say that, because, like, I totally agree with it. It's a very true statement, and I don't want to, like, you know, make it less than it actually is, because it very much is true. But I hate when people, I'm not saying you do this. I hate often in W spaces, people will be like, oh, well, yeah, her playing style doesn't fit at all, but at least she's like a really good person. It's like, okay, you need to have both. And you're saying both, which I agree with. The number four pick is another interesting pick because that's where I want them to roll the dice. Mm-hmm. That, like, you have that pick. You have another pick in the second, I believe, or maybe it's later in the third. I think it's in the second. But that's the one I'm thinking about. I'm not, sorry, people. I'm not thinking about the second or third round as much. I mean, if the Sparks want to kind of build some draft capital, pick up some players, cool. Same before, I'm all about that. In our mock draft, I'm not even going to say who we have going there because I want to force people to read it. But with the fourth pick, I think LA should take a little bit of a gamble. Like, why not? Or are you more in the camp of, you know what, there's good enough talent at number four, that's another lottery pick, go with the best available?
I say go with the best available, honestly, especially since you're in a rebuild already. Like, just go with the best available so at least you can have a semi-decent season, like, coming into, you know what I mean? Like,
no, totally.
Because when you're in a rebuild, everybody's like, oh, they're going to stink. They're going to be win, like, four games or something like that. But at least there's also from a fan perspective, like, coming out of my media hat and as a fan, like, mm-hmm. if my team has a number four pick and they don't draft the best available, all hope is lost for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go to a game. Like, you know what I mean?
Fine, but I'm going to, first of all, I love that you're disagreeing with me. I just want to push back and only ask, if the best available is a big, does that persuade you against it? Only because Cameron Brink. That, you see what I'm, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. But so let's say you draft a big, you could always trade. You could always...
They're kind of trade happy these days.
Yeah, exactly. See, you could always trade so and figure it out or get a, I don't know why you would want a lower pick, but if that's what you want in terms of a rebuild, if you really want to build somebody up from scratch, like, you can always trade. But if I'm at number four and Rekia Jackson's still there,
okay. No.
And I will say, there is a little bias. I did play against her in high school. She's cool. So,
I was about to say, shouldn't.
Yeah.
There's too much respect. You should be like, I don't want them to get her because no, I played against her and no, she got me.
I have respect for that girl. We beat her team.
That's why. There it comes out. There it comes out. Okay.
High school lore. Anyways, doesn't matter. I get smoked by her now, and she's also a foot taller than me. But that's
yeah. But like, it's like, you know, it's over though, right? Like, the season's over. You might be able to beat me next season, but that season's over.
But yeah, no, but either way, like, besides the fact that, like, obviously she'd be, like, there's that Michigan connection, like, she's a great player. And, like, if I'm at the Sparks and I pick up Rekia, you know how, like, there is a great chance that there is a possibility of them being able to leverage her in a way that benefits them in terms of, like, draft or whatever they decide to do, money, trade, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that is what I would be thinking if I'm the Sparks.
Okay. I got two last questions for you. One, I want you to imagine that we're talking, we're in 2024 right now. So we're talking in 2025 or no, it's whatever, end of the season. Imagine we're at the end of the season. Tell me, you know, your thoughts on the LA Sparks season and what you kind of expect.
I expect it not to be perfect, but to at least have some effort be there. I know, and it'll be an adjustment period again because everybody's new. So, but I feel like they might be one of those teams where in the beginning it's a little shaky, but they'll probably pull it together towards the end of the season. And we kind of even noticed that like last year as well. So I think also too with Kurt having the first year under his belt, it'll be the second season. So there'll be more of a stronger foundation in terms of what he's expecting. So for me, I think it'll be a decent year. Will they be in the championships? Probably not. But will they be bottom of the league? Possibly. Maybe. I'm hoping not. But will they be in the middle? I think there's a high chance of them being in the middle.
I mean, like, hey.
I don't see them losing that competitive edge because that's one thing about the Sparks. They compete. they compete. And so I think that will translate well into the 2025 season. So.
Love it. And then last question, and I agree with you because you look at last season, like they competed. Last question for you before I let you go. Well, I guess second last because we have a closing question, but real last question. If you have one wish for the LA Sparks this coming season, what is it?
To stay healthy.
Mm. All right. Final question. Who's your goat?
Who's my goat?
Mm-hmm.
Who's my goat? Oh, my goat? Mm. I would have to say I got to stick with my usual, which is Detroit Shock Zone Swing Cash. That is my goat. Always has been my goat since I was like eight or nine. And that answer hasn't changed. It's either Swing Cash or Candace Parker. Those are my goats.
Boom. Love it. Appreciate you making the time. We'll chat more.